Saturday morning, January 13th, 1945, and time to drop in at the Sportsman's Club for another of the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, when Saturday rolls around, that means it's yarn spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club, where the sports fans gather every week at this time as guests of the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. Granny Rice, who has covered all the big sporting events of the past 30 years and has kept a sharp eye out, too, for good stories about sports. So let's join the fans now at the Sportsman's Club and meet Grantland Rice.
Well, I saw Red Grange, and I'm telling you that he was the greatest open field runner ever to put on the tar.
Yeah, you're right.
I never saw Grange, but I did see Bo McMillan. Remember the Praying Colonels of Center College? There's the greatest back for my money.
Listen, did either of you guys ever see Michigan's Tommy Horman in action?
No, I didn't.
I did.
Well, I know he was a great runner. But now you take Grange out there at Illinois. Why, there was no stopping that guy. He had snake hips. Used to take the kickoff and run right through the whole opposition, 75, 85, 90 yards sometimes.
What do you say, Grant? Who was the greatest running back you've ever seen?
Yeah, let's in on it.
Well, fellas, that argument might keep us here all day. I saw Grange, and certainly he was one of the best ever. And you could get up a good argument for Tommy Harmon and Cliff Battles, too.
Oh, boy.
And some experts, many, will tell you that there was one star far ahead of all the rest, old Jim Thorpe.
Oh, you remember him? Yeah.
Well, put your money down on any one of them, and you'll get a good bet.
Yeah, but which one would you take, Grant?
Well, I might take Jerry Galvin.
Galvin?
Who the dickens is Jerry Galvin?
Where'd he play?
Why, he played for Covert U.
Covert U? Never heard of him.
Oh, wait a minute. You're stringing us along, Grant. This is a build-up for a sports yarn, right?
You got me there, Bill.
Well, let's have it, Grant.
Yeah, come on, let's have it, Grant.
Well, this one comes from Sports Winners Magazine. Harrison Hendricks wrote it, and he called it Football Brains. It's a story of how Jerry Galvin, Covert U's great back, was tricked into staging a comeback. But suppose we hear all from it about Galvin's best friend, Mike Healy.
Well, I'll tell you about Jerry Galvin's comeback, the inside story. They're giving me the credit for it on the campus. Oh, sure, I had something to do with it. So did Irene, Jerry's girl, but most of the credit belongs to a certain old party named J.C. Hartwig, Dean of Men and Professor of Psychology, 312K, open to seniors only. Yeah? You wouldn't believe it of Hartwig? You think he's an old stuff shirt? Listen, J.C. is okay, and he knows his stuff about this psychology, believe me.
See, ladies and gentlemen, that's what the power of suggestion is. This woman, case 29Z in our text, was convinced that she could not swallow. But the sudden shock brought about a complete recovery. Yes, I think this will be all for today. Continue your collateral reading and we'll have our reports next session.
Hey, Jerry, come on, let's grab a coffee, huh?
No, Mike, I gotta go over to the gym, but I'll walk that far with you.
Mind if I come along?
Hmm? Oh, sure, Irene.
Sure, come along, Irene, I'll buy you a coffee.
Swell. Jerry, wasn't that case Dean Hartwig told about interesting today?
Well, I don't know if she wanted to.
I was plenty worried about Jerry. Here's why. He'd started off the season with a bang. There was no stopping him. I think he was a cinch for All-American. But then he hurt his leg and slowed down to a walk. McCray, the coach, he couldn't figure. Neither could anybody else. The doc said the leg was okay, but Jerry wouldn't believe him. Well, I looked at Jerry as we walked along, and I tried to figure him out.
But you must admit, Jerry, that Dean Hartwig has a way of making things clear as crystal.
Oh, it's all a bunk, Irene.
What's the bunk?
Oh, Mike, Jerry here says that Dean Hartwig's psych course is the bunk.
Yeah, well, it seems pretty reasonable to me. Jerry, you're a good example of how true it all is.
What do you mean by that?
I'm talking about your mental attitude.
Oh, mental attitude. What's wrong with
it? Well, it's turning Covert star halfback into a poor candidate for a water boy's job.
Now, listen,
Mike.
Wait a minute.
Don't get excited. Just look at the facts. You start the season looking like another Red Grange. You ran rings around THU and Henley Tech. Then what happened?
Jerry hurt his leg, Mike.
Yeah, did you forget that little item, Mike? I hurt my leg in that Henley game.
Well, sure you hurt your leg. But you were out 3 weeks with it, resting in the infirmary.
So what?
And then the doc said it was okay.
Well, is it my leg or the doc's?
Does it still hurt you, Jerry?
Well, no, but it just won't do the things it used to.
Oh, that's all in your head, Jerry. There's nothing wrong with your leg. It's a mental condition with
it. Yeah, that's some more of Hartwig's bunk, huh? I suppose if I had the right mental attitude, it wouldn't make any difference if I had a broken leg. Is that it?
No, Jerry, but I think your leg's as good as it ever was. You've lost confidence. And as a result, the team is losing confidence in you. They're not blocking for you the way they used to.
Oh, so that's my fault.
I think it is.
Mike, maybe Jerry's leg is bothering
him. Oh, skip it, Irene. I don't need any alibis.
Oh, Jerry, I'm sorry. I know you're not laying down intentionally. It's just your mental attitude.
Oh, cut it out, Mike. I don't want to hear any more of Hartwig's bunk. I'm going into the gym. See you later. So long, Irene.
Goodbye, Jerry. Oh, Mike, maybe you were too hard on him.
No, I was doing it on purpose. I was trying to get him mad. Thought maybe that would help. Didn't work. He's convinced that he can't run like he used to.
Are you sure his leg's all right?
Oh, sure, it's all right. The doc wouldn't say so if it wasn't. He says there's nothing wrong with Jerry's leg. It's just as good as ever.
Mike, it's just like the woman Dean Hartwig was telling us about. She thought she couldn't swallow. Then they frightened her.
It wouldn't work with Jerry, Irene. You can't scare him into anything. It'd have to be something a little more subtle than that.
Yes, I suppose so. Gee, I wish there was something we could do.
Maybe I'll get an idea. Come on, let's get that coffee.
Mike, do you think Dean Hartwig might have an idea?
We played State U the next Saturday. On our early season record, we figured 4 or 5 touchdowns better, but we barely squeezed out a 14-13 victory over State. Jerry Galvin was playing worse than ever, but it wasn't only Jerry, the whole team bogged down. Jerry's complex was contagious, I guess. Well, I got Coach McCray alone in the dressing room after the game.
What's on your mind, Mike?
Jerry Galvin, Coach.
Oh, yeah? Well, he's on my mind, too.
Coach, you're absolutely sure about his leg?
Sure, I'm sure. There isn't a thing wrong with him.
Then it's just a mental thing with him, huh, Coach?
Oh, I don't know. It happens lots of times. Guy gets hurt, loses his nerve, that's all.
But it's not that with Jerry, Coach. He's got plenty in there.
You think so, eh?
I know it, Coach. I'm convinced the guy honestly believes his leg isn't as good as it used to be. If we could just convince him somehow that...
I've tried, Mike. It's no good.
Tell me, Coach. Do you plan to use him against Benton Saturday?
I'll use him if he perks up, if he shows anything in scrimmage. If I can see any of the old Jerry Galvin, I'll use him. Otherwise, he'll do us more harm than good. The team's lost confidence in him. They don't open up the holes for him anymore.
Yeah. Oh, if I could just think of some way to make the team remember what a great runner he is. What a great guy he is.
I gotta hand it to you, Mike. You certainly stick by a pal.
I'll figure something out, Coach.
Well, you've only got a few days left. We play Benton Saturday, you know.
Psychology.
Hmm?
That's the answer.
What'd you say?
Oh, nothing, Coach. I'll see you later. Well, I tried everything I could think of. I got the team together. Look, fellas.
Listen to Mike, wait.
All right. The trouble with Galvin is this. He's lost his confidence. Now, if we
what
can
do
just...
What do you mean, lost his confidence? Mike, the guy has lost his nerve.
That's not true, Bill. It's just his mental attitude.
What are you trying to give us, Mike?
Oh, listen, if you fellas would block for him the way you used
to... Well, you're passing the buck to us, Mike. It's our fault, huh? Because a guy turns yellow.
Don't say that, Bill. Jerry Galvin's not yellow, and I'll fight anybody who says he is.
Take it easy, Mike. Take it easy. We're not sore at you.
That didn't work, so I talked to Irene. Look, Irene, you try to reason with him. Maybe he'll listen to you.
I'll try, Mike. Jerry.
Yeah, Irene.
Jerry, you know what they're saying on the campus?
About me?
Jerry, they're saying you lost your nerve.
Oh, don't be so polite, Irene. They're saying I'm yellow, isn't that it? Well, I don't care what anybody believes. What do they expect a guy to do, be a Superman or something? I hurt my leg, see? Can I help it? Can I help it if I can't run like I used to?
But Jerry, Mike says...
I know what Mike says, and I wish Mike would mind his own business, see?
Well, things look pretty bad. The Benton game was only 3 days off, and at Culver U, the Benton game was the big one. Oh, we could lose every other one, and if we beat Benton, everybody was happy. But with Jerry the way he was, our chances didn't look very good. I was plenty worried, even after I had my little talk with Dean Hartwig. It was a screwball idea. Anyway, we were in Hartwood's class.
And that description of overt behavior brings to mind an incident of my own student days here at Covert. An example of socially conditional behavior trait. Well, one night, a group of us decided to steal the bell from Dorsch Tower and carry it to the dean's house. Well, we left a sentry at the foot of the tower and climbed up. We wrapped the clapper in fur, and then...
Well, that was an old gag around Covert. Somebody pulled it off every 3 years or so. Never failed to get a rise out of the faculty, and there was always some discipline for the entire student body if they couldn't find the fellows actually responsible. Well, anyway, while Hartwig was telling his story, I turned to Jerry Galvin. I said, hey, Jerry.
Yeah?
The old man must have been quite a cut-up in his day, huh?
Yeah, I guess he likes to think so. Huh?
Yeah. Hey!
What?
You know what we might do?
Huh?
Let's swipe the bell and put it on his lawn tonight.
Thoughts for today.
And so after we had carried the bell to the dean's lawn, we rang it proudly in a simulated defiance and then ran for our very lives. Yes, yes, yes. Well, that will be all, ladies and gentlemen. For the next assignment, we begin a review of individual differences. Jerry Galvin. Oh, Galvin.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to see you for a moment.
What's the old man want with you, Jerry?
Oh, I don't know. See you later, Mike.
You wanted to see me, Dean Hartwig?
Hmm? You want to see me, sir?
Oh, Galvin. Oh, yes, yes, of course. Galvin, an examination of my attendance records show you've been absent a great deal this term.
Yes, sir. I hurt my leg in football. I was out several weeks, sir.
Of course, of course. Leg all right now?
Oh, yes, it's pretty good, sir.
Splendid, splendid. But, of course, you've missed some very important material. Thorndike's theory of learning, Gestalt contributions. Yes. I'm afraid you'll have to make it up.
Yes, sir.
Of course, I know you're busy with football, Galvin, and being something of a football fan myself, I'd like to help you.
Oh, thank you, Dean.
Yes. Now, let me see. Suppose you drop in at my house this evening. I'll show you some shortcuts, perhaps. Give you an outline of the work you've missed. With a little application, you should be able to catch up with the others very easily.
Yes, sir. What time should I come to your house, sir?
Hmm? Oh, yes, yes. Let's say 9 o'clock this evening.
Well, I'll be there, Dean Hartwig. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Not at all. Not at all, Galvin.
Hello, Irene?
Yes?
Irene, it's Jerry.
Oh, hello, Jerry.
Look, Irene, I'm sorry, but our date's off.
Oh, why, Jerry?
Well, old man Hartwig wants me to come over to his house tonight.
Dean Hartwig? Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, what's so wonderful about it?
I mean, isn't it nice of him to invite you?
Well, he just wants to load me down with a lot of work I missed in psych, that's
well,
all.
Well, isn't that wonderful? I mean that he's taking such an interest in you. Well, it's all right about our date, Jerry.
Oh, thanks. Okay, Irene. Bye.
Goodbye, Jerry.
Jerry!
Oh, hello, Mike.
Jerry, I got it all lined up.
What have you got lined up?
The gag, to swipe the bill out of Dorsch Tower and put it on old man Hartwig's lawn. You know, just like he did when he was a student.
It ought to be good for a laugh.
Sure, you'll come along, won't you?
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry, Mike. I'd like to, but I can't make it.
Oh, you don't want to miss out on this, Jerry. Come on, break your day.
I can't break this one. It's with old man Hartwig. You
know? Hartwig? He asked you over to his house? Oh, that's wonderful.
Wonderful?
Huh?
Wait a minute. Hey, how'd you know he asked me over to his house?
Oh, I didn't. I just assumed that if you had a date with him, it must be at his house.
Yeah, well, what's so wonderful about it? He's just going to give me a lot of work to make up, that's all.
Well, it's kind of wonderful, isn't it? He's trying to help you out.
Funny. Irene thinks it's wonderful, too. You two certainly are nuts about this psychology.
So that's how it happened that Jerry Galvin happened to be walking past Dorsch Tower that night while the rest of us were just getting ready to climb up after the bell.
Wait a minute. Hold everything, fellas.
What's the matter?
Somebody's coming.
Who is it?
Shh. It's only Jerry Galvin.
Oh. Gee, I thought it was Hartwig for a minute.
Oh, Jerry.
Huh? Oh. Oh, fellas.
Hi.
What goes?
Hey, we're swiping a bell. You want to give us a hand?
Yeah, come on, Jerry. We can use you.
Oh, no thanks. Well, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, Jack.
Hiya.
Hi, Jack.
Hey, that's quite a gang you got here,
we
huh?
We can stand another one. Come on, Jerry, what do you say?
Oh, gee, I'm sorry. I've got an important date at 9 o'clock, fellas. Gee, just about 3 minutes to make it. Some other time.
Hey, good luck with the belt. Yeah,
well, how do you like that?
Hasn't even got enough nerve to swipe a little old bell.
No wonder he's a washout of football.
All right, fellas. Easy now.
Man, this thing is heavy.
All right, up on the lawn now. All right, let her down easy. All right.
There she is. Whew. Gosh, I hope we don't have to carry this thing back.
How are they going to know who did it?
Old man Hartwig's going to be plenty sore about
this.
Well,
he did the same thing himself. He was bragging about it in class.
I know, but he thinks the present generation ought to be more serious-minded.
Well, come on. We're all set. Let's ring it and scram. Huh?
Hey, let me tilt this a little. Right. You swing the clapper, Mike.
Okay.
Wait a minute, fellas. Wait a minute. Look in the window. Who's that with Hartwig? Hmm?
Well, I'll be. It's Jerry Galvin.
Yeah. What's he doing in there?
Well, he's in Hartwig's psych class, probably talking about that.
Hey, there's something funny about this.
Come on, let's ring the bell. Get out of here. Here we go. Okay, let's go, but fast. Get run.
Next morning, a bunch of us stood staring at the bulletin board. There was a typewritten sheet tacked on.
Will you look at that?
And I'm a senior.
It carried the names of every last one of us who had swiped the bell.
Well, what do you know?
It said the punishment would consist of cleaning all of Dorsch Tower. It was signed Dean Hartwig. The guys were pretty sore.
How did he get our names? Look at that, every one of them.
Somebody turned us in.
Now, who's heel enough to do that?
Nobody.
Wait a minute. You remember when Jerry Galvin came by the tower last night?
Yeah.
He saw us all.
Jerry Galvin wouldn't turn us in.
Didn't we see him in Hartwig's living room while we were putting the bell on the lawn?
Yeah,
what
but...
What was he doing
now, listen,
there?
Fellas, take it easy. Don't pin this thing on Jerry.
It all ties together. He saw us, and he goes to the dean.
Yeah, but what would be his angle?
He saw her. He claims we're not blocking for him, so he takes this chance to get even.
Cut it out, fellas. Here he comes.
The heel.
Hello, guys. Quiet, Jack. What do you say, Bill?
Hello, Jerry.
Hello. So what's the matter with the rest of you guys? It's the idea of the freeze, huh?
Come on, let's get out of here, Bill.
Yep, getting kind of stuffy in here.
Hey, wait a minute. What's the matter?
Take a look at the bulletin board, pal. You did a nice night's work.
What the... Bulletin board? Where... Oh. Well, what's this got to do with me? Hey, Mike, they think I turned them in.
Yeah. Practice was a pretty sad affair for Jerry Galvin that afternoon. Every time he carried the ball, the scrubs smeared him. The varsity line just wasn't blocking for him. Whenever I carried the ball, they opened up holes big enough to drive a truck through. Now, they were sore, and they wanted Jerry Galvin to know it. He felt pretty low when I came into the room that night. Hi, Jerry.
Oh, Mike.
You look kind of down, kid.
Wouldn't you? Those guys think I squealed on them to Hartwig. They won't even listen to me. They won't block for me.
I know, Jerry.
Mike, you don't believe I turned them into Hartwig, do you? You don't think I would do a thing like that, do you, Mike? Mike, you believe me, don't you?
Yeah.
I know it looked funny, me being with Hartwig that night, but you know why I was there.
Sure.
Well, look, Mike, can't you talk to the guys? Can't you convince them?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to give them the truth.
Thanks, Mike. What do you mean, the truth?
The truth about who turned them in.
Oh, you know?
I know.
Who was the rat, Mike? Who was he? Tell me.
I turned them in, Jerry.
You turned... Come on, Mike, quit kidding. Come on, what's the real lowdown?
That's it, I turned them in. Somehow, Hartwig saw me on the lawn last night. He collared me this morning, threatened to expel me if I didn't give him all the names. I guess he thought he'd look silly before the Board of Regents after he told that story in class.
You, Mike?
Yeah, he threatened to expel me, I tell you. I got rattled. I didn't want to get kicked out of school, so I gave him the name.
I don't believe it,
Mike. Oh, it's
Mike.
True, Jerry. I'm the heel, but I'm going to stop being one right now. I'm going to tell the guys the real story, and then I'm going to turn in my uniform. That'll clear you, Jerry, and I'd rather have you in there against Benton Saturday.
Mike.
Mike, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know, but don't worry. I'll square things for you. I'm sorry I let you take the rap this long. Well, might as well get going now, I guess. I'll talk to you guys.
Wait a minute, Mike.
The thing that hurts me is what this will do to Coach. Benton whipped us last year. There's a story around that if they do it again, it means Mac's job.
Yeah? So they're saying, huh?
That's what they're saying, Jerry. If your leg was in shape, if this thing hadn't happened, I wouldn't worry a bit about Benton. But with the two of us out of there, well, it's no use kidding ourselves. Well, I'll go out now.
No, you won't, Mike. Now, look, they think I did the squealing. Okay, let them keep on thinking that. I'm no good to the team with the shape my leg's in. If they find out you turn him in, they'll quit blocking for you just they did for me.
I can't let you take the rap, Jerry.
Well, you gotta let me take it, Mike, for Coach's sake. He needs you in
there.
Yeah,
but I feel like a heel.
Oh, forget it, Mike.
You see what I mean about Jerry Galvin? Ah, he was okay. Even when I told him I was the one who turned in the rest of the guys. But he wouldn't be talked out of it. He insisted on taking the blame for something he didn't do, just so I could stay in the lineup. But Jerry was still poison to the rest of the team, and he didn't rate so well with Coach McCray either. What about Galvin, Coach? Are you going to use him against Benton?
Not if I can help it, Mike.
Oh, we could sure use him in there, Coach.
We could use the old Galvin, yes. But I don't think I need a guy who will squeal on his pals.
Jerry didn't squeal, Coach.
No, who did then?
I don't know, but I got a hunch you'll be able to use Galvin Saturday.
Look, Mike, you're wasting your time. First of all, Galvin has this complex about his leg. He undermined the confidence of the team. Then he turned squealer. It's too much, Mike. We'll get along without him.
All right, Coach, if you say so. Galvin was on the bench when we lined up on the field for the kickoff against Benton. Nobody spoke to him, not even Coach McCray. I looked over at him just before we took the field, and he winked and he grinned. Jerry Galvin. And they said he didn't have any guts. Well, Benton was tough, as we knew they would be, but they were a little tougher than we expected. They pushed over a touchdown in the first quarter and made the extra point. I don't know what was wrong with our guys. Everybody seemed to be trying, but we just weren't clicking. Well, late in the second quarter, Benton went over again, and the half ended with us trailing 13-0. Well, I wanted to play my trump card in that first half, but I thought I better wait and make it real good.
All right. Now, look, we're losing this game, and we should be winning it. You don't look bad out there, but there's something missing. You know what it is. It's that spark. It's that old team spirit. You're not giving it everything you've got.
Coach gave us the regulation pep talk in the locker room during the half, and as I listened, I made up my mind. I was going to play my trump card. I didn't have too much faith in it, but I had gone too far now. So I laid it on the line in the huddle after a couple of plays. Now, look, you guys, listen to me. I'm going out.
What are you talking about, Mike?
I'm going out of this ball game. Before I go, I want you to know this. You've been thinking Jerry Galvin was the guy who squealed on you, see? Well, he wasn't the squealer. I was. I gave Hartwig your names. I'm the rap.
Mike, you're crazy.
All right, shut up. Jerry took the rap from me because he thought it meant Mac's job as a coach. I'm the squealer. Now, I'm going out. I'm going to ask Mac to send Galvin in. I only ask you this. Make up for what you've done to the guy. I trotted into the bench after the next play. Mac,
huh?
I'm washed up. Send Galvin in for me.
What's the matter with you, Mike? You're no quitter.
Send Galvin in, will you?
I guess I got to. Galvin, get in there for Healy.
Okay.
Galvin sprinted out onto the field, and they went into a huddle.
Listen, Galvin, is what Mike told us the straight dope you've been covering up for him?
Yeah, come on, Galvin, tell us.
What if he did? What's that got to do with this? Let's win this ball game.
You're okay, Jerry. We've been giving you a bum rap.
Then what are we waiting for? Come on, Jerry.
Right, let's go, gang.
Back on the bench, Coach McCray couldn't believe his eyes. Suddenly, the old Jerry Galvin was out there weaving those snake hips of his through holes in the line. And, man, were they opening up those holes in the line for Jerry. For the first time in weeks, the cheers went up for Jerry Galvin.
And sitting there on the bench wrapped in my blanket, I felt better than if I was making those touchdowns myself. It was 21-13 when the final gun went off. Covert could have made it twice then if there had been more time. And back in the dressing room, Jerry was a big hero again. Everybody, even the coach, was slapping him on the back.
You are great, Jerry.
Best game of your life. Get butter there.
Jerry, I owe you an apology. You certainly were your old self again.
Nobody noticed me over in the corner. I was the rat now, the guy who squealed. But I didn't mind.
I'm sorry. Nobody allowed in the dressing room, Doc.
I think I will be allowed, young man.
Oh, gee, Dean Hartwig. Sure, Dean Hartwig. Come on in.
Hey, fellas.
Well, look who's here. Dean Hartwig. Nice of you to come down. Fellas, pipe down. Here's the dean.
Yes, of course. Coach McRae, gentlemen, congratulations. It was a great game. And credit for it must go to one man.
Oh, we've been telling Jerry Galvin what a great game he played, Dean.
Yes, quite so. Mr. Galvin did play a splendid game. But the real credit belongs to Mr. Michael Healy.
Mike Healy? What did Mike have to do with it, Dean?
Coach McRae, gentlemen, the entire credit belongs to Mr. Healy, a most promising student of psychology. The whole thing was Mr. Healy's idea.
Pardon me, maybe I'm a little slow, but what whole thing are you talking about?
The whole plot to make Jerry Galvin regain his confidence, and to make the team regain its confidence in him. Mr. Healy came to me with the idea a few nights ago. That's why I told the story of how we stole the Dorsch Tower bell in my student days. That's why he arranged for suspicion to be cast upon Mr. Galvin. It was Mr. Healy's theory that the team should get good and mad at Mr. Galvin, and then, in a moment of great emotional strain, discover him to be what Mr. Healy calls a right guy.
Mike worked this whole thing out and took the rap himself? Well, what do you think of that?
Remarkable psychological insight.
Yeah, they put me up on their shoulders and they gave me the hero treatment. I know you won't believe it, but that stuff doesn't go so big with me. I guess I'm just full of that old college spirit. Yeah. Well, anyway, after it was all over, I was walking out of the bowl with Jerry Galvin and I really...
Gee, Mike, I still don't know how to thank you.
Forget it, kid. We won. It's all that counts.
Yeah, but how we won? Psychology. And I thought it was the bunk.
Something to it, I guess, huh? Hey, how about you two having a Coke with me?
Oh, sure. Okay, Irene?
Sure, Mike. We can't stay too long. Jerry's coming over to my house.
Yeah, there's a book Irene wants me to look at, Mike.
A book?
Uh-huh.
The biggest night of the year? You the big hero? You're going to spend the evening looking at a book?
Yeah, Mike.
What's the big idea?
It's a kind of special book, Mike.
Yeah, it's about psychology.
Well, fellas, that's Football Brain, written by Harrison Hendricks for Sports Winners. Well, I got to be running along now.
See you next week, Grant.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be around with another fight story for you. See you then, fellas. Okay. So long, Bill.
So long, Brain. So long.
Today's story, Football Brains, was dramatized by Gerald Holland. Grantland Rice appeared in person, and our cast included Lawson Zerbe as Mike, Paul Mann as Jerry, with Marguerite Morrissey, Neil O'Malley, Joe Boland, Mason Adams, and Jay Wesley. George Crook was at the organ. Production, Garnet Garrison. Next week, same time and station, another sports story. A boxing story called Anything for a Pal, especially selected for you by the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. This is the National Broadcasting Company.